Another week, another edition of Tech Plus. Hello and welcome. It's Ion with you as well as Kane, and we're about to unpack this week's biggest tech stories. Joining us in studio, as always, is our special guest, Kane. Kane, man, how's it going?
It's going good.
You got shades on today. At first, I thought maybe he was hungover or something else, but he's got it for a reason. And he's going to tell us now.
Today, I'm wearing the Meta Ray-Bans Wayfarers. I think that's what they're called. They're the newest glasses in Meta's lineup for, you know, these glasses that have cameras in it, mics in it. Basically, it's like a smartwatch, but a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
And I was actually thoroughly surprised by it. You know, I was lucky enough to get my hands on it. And it has two cameras on it, one in the left and one in the right eye. And it has one button to turn the device on and one button to basically capture. And you can just kind of, whenever you want, you can use voice commands to start capturing video. So let's say, you know, you're in a tight squeeze, you got some stuff in your hands, but there's just absolutely something crazy going on. Maybe, you know, this bird that you've been looking for, you know, ever in your bird watcher suddenly is in front of you, but your hands are full. You can activate a voice command and just take a photo or start a video recording. And I think one of the most interesting things about it is I actually ended up getting it at the end of the day, and it was on my birthday that I got it. So at the beginning of the day, I thought to myself, I thought back at the end of the day, and I thought, sure, you know, if I had put these on at the beginning of the day, I would have been able to take snapshots of while I was opening certain gifts.
But you didn't. You didn't receive it first.
No, but you know, it's an interesting thing because what we're used to is being able to whip out your phone and take a video. And most of the time, we might take a video with a selfie.
Yeah.
We might, you know, we might make a point and shoot video, but, you know, the angle you're holding it and things like that, whereas with the Ray-Ban glasses, when you start recording, you're literally capturing a video of what you saw.
What you're seeing, yeah, it's because it's from your eyes.
It's a direct...
From that angle.
It's directly the same thing. You know?
And listen, first of all, happy birthday for this week. I hope you had a very, very nice day.
Thank you. It was a great day, actually.
Yeah, and closer to 30 now.
One step closer. Bit. Yeah.
And then, obviously, you got these awesome glasses for your birthday, which is a very nice gift.
It's a hell of a gift, eh?
It is.
As far as I understand, and I might be wrong, but it's one of the only available in South Africa right now. As far as I understood, when I opened it up, I couldn't even get the app running. I had to do some special, you know, MacGyvering of your Android's, Play Store account to get it in a different country where the app, where the MetaView app is available.
But I must tell the listeners, Kane was acting very funny when he arrived here today. I was wondering why he's not, you know, taking off the glasses. So later on, I thought, okay, maybe he's showing off the glasses. So I was like, oh, okay, cool shades, bro. And he kept it on and he kept talking, you know, and repeating himself. And I thought, wow, he's very different today.
Lad's lost it.
Maybe he's lost it or he's overworked or something. But now I know you've been secretly recording as well.
So I did it actually as a thought experiment because I wanted to be like, you know, if someone was just in your nearest vicinity that you know or you might be associated with that was using his glasses, how easy would it be to determine whether or not the person is engaging with you or not? And my answer is it's incredibly difficult to discern.
Mm.
You know, if I'm standing in a line and I just say, you know, hey, Meta, take a photo, it will go out and it'll take a photo. And
it's listening,
you know, and I think it's a really cool way, especially if you're in a situation, you know, maybe you're driving around and someone bumps you and it's just, you need to record this situation for, you know, everybody always is like, damn, I wish I could have just recorded what happened.
It's almost
there.
Like a dash cam.
Yeah, it's like a dash cam, but for your, you're the dash.
Yeah. Yeah, but like imagine somebody says something to you in the shop or, you know, becomes violent and you're like, bro, just, what did you say to me? Just say it again. And then Meta record.
So when I first heard about it, I thought, okay, are these just glasses that have a camera on? But I've learned that they're actually much more than that. They've also got speakers that are that run behind your ear. You know how you would normally wear glasses? So it's not over your ear. There's no earphone, but it can play music arguably clearer.
Yeah.
Than headphones.
It's like surround sound, because you had me testing it just now, and it sounds like surround sound. The music's around your head.
It plays like onto your skull almost.
It is very, yeah, but it's very subtle. And you know, when you look at the glasses, you can't say that they've got cameras or anything. No. There's no way of telling.
If you take a close-up look and you look through the frame of the glass, you'll actually see all these computer components.
Wow.
Throughout the pair of glasses.
It feels like I walked into a futuristic movie or something.
It is a bit like that. I'm telling you.
Because we always talk about it, you know, but we never physically see it.
I think if you're standing in a line and you just shoot off, hey, Meta, start recording, or hey, Meta, do this or do that, you know, people are going to answer you like, you were even like Meta, isn't it? Like Google or something. Yeah. Like, no way, I'm not talking to you. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So I was wondering who you were talking to, and now I know. It all makes sense. So it's linked to your phone and everything.
So you can take calls. It's also got like a touchpad on the side of it. So if you tap it once, you can play music. It's like linked to your Spotify. If you kind of swipe the touchpad towards your eye, you'll turn the volume up. If you swipe it towards your ear, you'll turn the volume down.
What?
There's like double finger gestures and things like that. And the really cool thing is apparently Meta is going to be bringing a lot of updates to the Ray-Bans for this particular model for AI-related assistant stuff. So I can imagine that, you know, for example, Meta is one of the people that actually released the real-time real-time translation AI, where you can voice record in and you'll get a voice recording back of you speaking another language, right? That they built that. So I imagine that these glasses are going to be the framework for having some of that technology where someone can speak to you in a language you don't know. You can say, you know, hey, Meta, please translate this. And boom, you know, you get it directly into your ear. No one else can really hear about it. And you get it directly fed into your ear in their voice, what they're actually saying in the corresponding language. That's crazy.
Now my mind's wandering.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, let's say somebody grabs those glasses off your head now and he runs away with it.
Yeah.
How far can he go until the reception to your phone stops working? Is it connected via Bluetooth? And how far before it disconnects and he's got the glasses then?
So I think it has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi 6. So it's going to last as far as those
signals.
Bands will. So, you know, you're going to get probably like 15, 20 meters.
Yeah, and if so you got to catch him before then. Yeah.
You better start wheeling.
Yeah.
You know, start moving fast.
Okay, awesome.
But also one might realize that grabbing a pair of glasses off someone's face is easier said than done compared to grabbing a phone out of their hand.
Yeah, no, I've never seen anybody
unless
steal sunglasses
come behind
off
you. unless they come behind you maybe and just whip it off or something.
Yeah, and that's usually when you put it down.
Yeah.
That's when they take it.
Yeah, when you're not looking.
Yeah, I've never seen it off, stolen off somebody's face. Well, not yet.
You know those phone cases that people use where it's like a leather flap almost. It's like a leather pouch almost.
That's
they
right,
put the glasses in. So this one for the Ray-Bans has obviously a Bluetooth a battery in it. So when you put your glasses into the pouch, it starts charging it like earphones.
Last week you told us about that very intelligent vacuum cleaner of yours who takes himself back to the charging port. After he did the job around the house.
Yeah.
So now you've got somebody or a machine doing your vacuuming, and now you've got this as well. So now you're really high-tech, eh?
Getting smart home, day.
Yes, it's amazing, hey? But I mean, it's true to what you're doing as a presenter for Tech Plus. You've got to have some technology.
Test it out, you know?
Some gadgets, at least, you know?
You've got to test it out. And speaking of things that we've got to test out, we've got a update in the in Starlink, right? Remember we heard about how Starlink people in South Africa were getting Starlink, like something like 14,000 people in South Africa have Starlink, even though it's not allowed in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
South African businesses registered themselves in other countries near neighboring South Africa and basically imported the products in, and they found loopholes upon loopholes. So apparently Starlink's blocking of accounts that led to hundreds of customers in South Africa losing internet access was likely due to a company reselling the SpaceX offering against its terms of service. That is according to patent attorney Wessel van Wyk of the patent, copyright and trademark law firm Smit & van Wyk. Several Starlink users in South Africa who received their kits from Mozambique-based importer StarSat Africa began complaining about their services being offline in early February 2024. StarSat subsequently confirmed to My Broadband that the cutoff impacted 350 to 400 of its customers. It said that made up around 10% of its total customer base. The company offers an import service to various sub-Saharan African countries, including South Africa, and a management service that handles account sign-up and payments to Starlink. For the latter, it charges a $1,200 monthly fee and has around, and compared to a rough $700 to $900 a customer would pay when paying Starlink directly for the subscription. So they take a little bit of a cut, but it looks like that was short-lived as Starlink begins to take action against people who haven't gone through the right grey areas to sub-provide the service to South Africans. And I still think, let's just get Starlink. I mean, flip. I think that I always like to ask myself, is the damage it can do, you know, worse than the good it can do?
Mm.
And if I look at something like AI video, for something like Sora, we spoke about it last week, the ability to one-for-one recreate any video footage. The pretty one scary thing, you know, if someone sends you a picture and says, look, you know, my wall has a hole in it, and you are the homeowner, you'll be like, wow, I might not believe you, you know. But if someone says, hey, here's a video of the hole in your wall, you're going to be like, I fully believe you. Just the same that if you got a call from someone that sounded like a family member, you might be inclined to believe them if they're looking for money. But if you get a video call from one of your family members, you best believe you're going to have a hard time. If it's indistinguishable, you're going to have a really hard time knowing if you're getting scammed or not. And you don't know the severity of it, you know. So that, for me, can do more damage right now than good. AI video right now.
Definitely.
The good it can do, save people some money. The bad it can do is like devastating.
And voice cloning. And I'm also thinking in terms of voiceover artists, you know, who have to do voiceovers for their work, but their voices can actually just be cloned and read any script. They just need a 60-second sample of your voice.
Well, yes, that's actually something that I was telling someone the other day. I was saying that, you know, if you look at an artist, if we just look at the music industry and AI, you're going to have three types of artists. The first type of artist, let's say it's Eminem, you know, just for the sake of giving a name to a face. If Eminem's going to make music, he and AI models are going to duplicate his music without his permission, he might be inclined to be very upset about this. And very unhappy that he's missing out on all this money, right? And that people are basically stealing his identity and producing his music off of it. He no longer has the ability to be creative. He might be debilitated by that idea and be very upset and try to take charge and go legal. Whereas, let's say someone like Drake, again, just an example, he's got no problem with AI generative models. He realizes that if he uses AI to create the songs beforehand, he can save a lot of money creating a lot of songs that he wouldn't end up using, right? Okay. So he brings it into his creative funnel. He has AI models that are trained off of his own music and his own input, and he can use these models however he wants, and he can get songs paired up, and he can test out different tracks and lines and all sorts of different styles and genres, and he doesn't even have to actually put in the effort yet until he's got something he likes, and then he produces it originally. And then you've got another guy, let's say we don't know who he is, he doesn't exist yet, he doesn't really care about his intellectual property, he has no care in the world whether people buy his music or not, you know, or whether, maybe not whether they buy their music, but whether or not people have the ability to make music with his voice. So he decides to make an AI model that anyone in the world can use to basically produce music. So if you have no music capabilities, you can't sing, you can't write music, you can play around with his text to music prompt that's trained off of his own voice and his own backtrack, and you can make a song. And maybe he says, if you make a song, you can put it on my Spotify, and if it does well, you can make 30% commissions.
Yeah.
Now he has hundreds of thousands of people all pushing different types of his music. It would be physically impossible for him to even use his own AI models to produce that volume of music.
Mm.
Drake and that guy are fine. Eminem, you're not going to win. You're not going to win the battle. You're not going to win the legal fight because it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
So we're kind of at that point where you're like, well, how do we better embrace it now? If we are going to have AI video, how do we stop it from disarming people or, you know, phishing scams, false identity, you know, scams? Man, the list goes on of the damage it can do. But for me, circling back to Starlink, in South Africa, How much damage can it do? It can cost ISP some money. What good can it do? It can connect the unconnected. It can allow someone who's in a region that has no connectivity to not only get connected to the internet, but also sell that internet connectivity to people around him. So when you have a way to connect people that are disconnected and allow them to make money off of allowing other people to connect through them, you can actually create an economy. So is it a bad, if everybody in a place that wasn't connected could run Starlink and make some money off of making other, helping other people get connected, that's for me really a lot of good. I don't see a lot of bad in that, to be honest. That getting a hold of South Africa connected in every region as an internet. Internet access does a lot more things than just, you know, helping us make money. Internet connectivity can be the difference between you getting an SOS out or not. You know, internet connectivity can be the difference between you having access to a legal entity or not. How so? Well, ChatGPT can help you with legal stuff.
Yeah.
So if you can connect to the internet and you can use ChatGPT for completely for free, and it can help you with legal advice, you might just save yourself a little bit of trouble. Internet connectivity.
So, Kane, sorry, in the last 60 seconds, did you hear birds?
I did.
Hardy-dars.
Hardy-dars.
Yeah, okay, now I'm just checking. I thought I was finally losing it.
That would be a good sign.
Because
like
it sounds very real.
Well, if you start hearing hardy-dars that aren't there, you should definitely consider something.
Yeah, you always got to double check.
And on that note, is it time for a music break?
Absolutely, let's go. Welcome back to Tech Plus, another edition for another week, and it's Ian and Kane with you. We're talking about the week's biggest tech stories, not just in South Africa, but the world. So we like hearing from you. Last week we shared the WhatsApp line, and we're encouraging our listeners, if you listen to us every week, same time, same place, to send us a WhatsApp message. Let us know what you think of what we're talking about. Nice, friendly messages, positive messages. Very, very welcome. And one of the messages we got was from a listener called Ed, who wanted to know more about, since we're talking about AI, more about home security and how AI can help us in that field. Yes. Kane obviously did some homework during the week, and he's got some feedback for us, eh? Kane?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I think it was a great question, because I don't think it's something a lot of people have been asking, because just judging by the amount of information available online, it doesn't seem to be something that's being asked a hell of a lot. But interestingly enough, there is some unprecedented application for artificial intelligence in the home security system world. And there's a few ways that we can look at that. I think a lot of what's made security systems better today is actually artificial intelligence-like features anyway, being able to detect a human being.
I've got a camera like that.
Really, it can track?
Yeah, so it knows whether it's a cat in the backyard or human being. Yeah, but the problem is now that thieves over December were crawling on the floor like cats to confuse the cameras, and that concerns me, because they're obviously aware that these cameras have human detection anyway.
I think when you're looking at human detection like that, you probably have some degree of frame by frame analysis, where every single frame, and I think even with AI it would be doing the same, but in this case it's comparing every frame to something that isn't built on artificial intelligence. Not every single one of them is built off of AI to detect humans. It's got other methods of programming and other methods of like tracking, for example sending like an infrared light to the object and back. If it doesn't come back, you know, if it does it every tenth of a second and the data coming back is a bit different, there's going to be something there. So it's going to maybe just turn on, and the most simple of object detection. But with AI, it allows us to actually train not just frame by frame analysis, but also all the frames together analysis in the most simple of descriptions. So what does that mean? Well, that means if it knows a person because it can see what a person looks like standing up, AI might be able to determine what a person looks like lying down, based on what they look like standing up. So if there is some very odd things happening on the corner of a film, AI might be able to differentiate it just being light refraction, so like random light bouncing off, maybe people are walking in the distance past the source of the light and there's just a little bit of like shimmer and things like that that's happening, or it can discern, okay, this is actually a person crawling, and that, for example, can be one of the ways that AI is going to improve the home security system world. Also things like greater visibility. We've often seen, if you want to train a cool AI model, and we take the blurred background foreground example, if you want to train an AI model, you can go and you can take a picture of anything on a table, and in one of the shots focus on the table, and in another shot focus on the object on the table, and now you have a way to tell AI what a table looks like blurred and what a table looks like normal, and what your foreground object looks like blurred and what a foreground object looks like normal. And if you train it right, the AI will be able to unblur any background or unblur any foreground. And that's some way that you can train it. So if you are constantly training AI on, for example, being able to understand what's going on the furthest edge of a camera, it can use predictive generative to show what's out of the frame.
Wow.
In real time for every frame. So it can actually see more, not necessarily because it can see more, but because it can predict what is on the outside of it. And it might be able to just see the fraction of something in the frame to be able to determine that this is not right, this is not a correct thing. And then it can actually alert that there's something odd happening. Also tracking and things like that as well. If you train AI on how to track something for a long period of time, it's going to get better and better and better and better at tracking it, and also ignoring other things like cats and dogs and mouses and bats, and it'll have a greater degree of accuracy of differentiating those things.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about, whenever we talk about AI, it would seem to me that with all AI, there is a period in the beginning where you need to allow it to train first and learn and you know, sort of get to know you and save the patterns, you know.
Yes,
before AI, it works the best.
AI would be able to do something like learn who you are in your own house. So if you're walking through the house at 2 a.m. in the morning, no problem. If someone that's never seen before is walking through the house, it's a problem.
Oh, what if you're not wearing makeup?
It's a problem. I'm joking.
Because some people are unrecognizable without makeup. So you got to show AI first what you look like without makeup. Otherwise, it's going to get a fright at 2 a.m.
That's actually an absolutely great example. And I'll tell you why, because it goes back to that blurred camera thing.
Yeah.
If I can show a photo of a person with makeup and a person without makeup, I can train AI for what a person looks like without makeup or what a person is going to look like with makeup. And if you take that model and you apply it in the home security world, it will be able to tell if you're wearing makeup or not. It will know, because it can look both at you with makeup and predict you without it and see if it matches. It's clever. It's crazy clever.
It's clever. But I mean, you know what would be really cool is if you could get that vacuum cleaner of yours to be like a pet dog, like a guard dog.
Get excited.
And sort of like have an attack mode and go all
start
crazy,
spraying water at the robber, you know?
Yeah, or just bump into his knees or something.
Sprays him in the eyes with salty water.
Get out, get out.
So in a nutshell, AI for home security getting way there's a lot of little things that are lining up to make it extremely useful, like a lot of disconnected things. For example, even if you look at voice audio translators, if people are speaking in a foreign language, we are building AI models that are able to unscramble whatever language that is and interpret it. So then again, if people are walking around your house and they're speaking a language that, you know, AI might actually be able to, one, listen, two, understand, and three, make an informed decision as what to do next. And that's going to come. So right now, there's not like a product you can buy or something like that that's just absolutely focused in the AI home security world by using these models to get better. But we're a few months away from what is going to be probably some of the best security systems when we implement this kind of technology. So
yeah, but in the end, it's for the better.
It's for the better.
And it will keep us safe, you know. As I always say, what could possibly go wrong? Go wrong.
I like that. That's so funny. Speaking of going wrong, Netflix password crackdown. You noticed?
Yes, that's why I had to get my own.
Okay. Now, you know what blew my mind? We were speaking about password crackdown this and password crackdown that, and it hadn't happened yet, and we were kind of skeptical whether it would come or not. But we even spoke, and I had some assurity in the fact that I knew that if the password were to, the password crackdown were to happen, it's okay. Just buy an extra member on your Netflix account.
Mm.
That was what you were supposed to be able to happen.
Yeah.
Not in South Africa, not apparently. Yet. Yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
Here in South Africa, you're not allowed to have two households connected, and you're just not allowed to. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the end of the conversation really we're bad. Having right now. You know, you have really to go create bad. Another account. Or they've kind of picked the annoying route. They're like, we won't punish them. We'll annoy them to death.
With that, you know? Pop-up.
So you get a pop-up.
Yeah.
You have to email verify. It's a whole process. And
by the end of that process, you don't really feel like watching TV anymore.
By the end of that process, you're prepared to refilm whatever show you like watching and just live and watch in your own time, you know. So that's what I feel, at least.
Yeah, no, you're right, absolutely.
So Netflix has apparently come out to explain why cheaper extra member features are not available in South Africa. And I read this and I was like, I want to find out, and I want to find out, you know, live on air. So Netflix has explained the reasoning behind South African subscribers not getting the option to add discounted extra members to accounts. After years of not caring all that much about subscribers sharing their passwords with people outside their households, even joking about it in social media posts, Netflix started clamping down in 2022. And in March 2022, Analysis Mason estimated that the company had lost roughly $1.8 billion in revenue in its European, Middle Eastern and African markets due to the crackdown. The company began using a combination of elements, including IP addresses, network information, device IDs, and user viewing habits to establish a primary location where the account holder was most likely to be accessing the service. If it detects that a device away from its location is accessing the service, it sends a notification warning users not to do it. If the user had access to the email account used for the subscription, they could change it. They could change their primary location basically via email. And it was initially limited to just a handful of countries in South America. However, it hit us now most recently in the last few months. So of the 190 countries where Netflix is available, apparently roughly 100 got the ability to add an extra member under a sub-account at a fraction of the cost. The secondary user gets their own profile and separate streaming service instance in another location than what Netflix has determined to be the primary address. The feature served to soften the impact of subscribers. But however, when South Africa got hit with the crackdown, that didn't happen. They weren't included in the 100 countries. However, Netflix did start cracking down on password sharing only just the beginning of this year, so it might still be coming. And whether Netflix had to consider whether the pricing model in the market would benefit from inducing a lower cost option. And they ultimately deduced that because Netflix is already cheaper in South Africa because of the exchange difference, like in America, if you buy your Netflix subscription with USD, with the dollars, you can actually spend more than you would in South Africa. And we see the same with Xbox Game Pass. So South Africa is already on a tier that is at a discounted rate in Netflix's eyes. Right, in their mind, South Africa already gets lower rates because the amount that they collect after they convert it is much less than what they collect from an American. And so that's the reason. We just have it too cheap, apparently, to be subjected to a cheaper secondary account option. So whatever you thought. And I don't really like that because you've got profiles on the Netflix account, like people are watching, they've formed habits. It's like that Showmax thing where people lost their view history.
I was just thinking about it. But I think so far no solutions to that problem. But listen, I don't know if you heard this week in the news that your friends at Takealot, they actually took on a new distribution warehouse in Durban, 6 billion rand.
Whoa!
So they're ramping up. I guess it has something to do with Amazon's arrival that's imminent.
Amazon's visit, should we call it conjugal visit?
Yes. So they're obviously ramping up a bit, eh? I mean, the timing is quite interesting, don't you think?
You know what it reminds me of? As soon as you said it, I thought of it, and then I realized that's actually quite hilarious. Do you remember a time where Pepsi and Coke were quite predominant in South Africa?
Mm.
Not anymore.
Coca-Cola.
Mm-mm. It's just Coke. Do you know how that happened?
What happened to Pepsi?
This was what was told to me, because I'm not the expert on it, but I have heard some things.
You still see Pepsi.
You still
see
Pepsi.
Not in all the stores, though.
So I think a number of years ago, Coca-Cola started buying out all the refrigeration systems in South Africa, all the refrigeration warehousing for like cold drinks. And that kind of Pepsi had nowhere to keep their Cokes. I mean, Pepsi had nowhere to keep their Pepsis. There's just no way to keep them cold. But difficult to sell a cold Pepsi warm.
Jeez, what a spiteful move, eh?
And you're like, yeah,
like,
no,
you can't put your cool drink anywhere because we've got all the fridges.
Like, you could put the cool drink somewhere, but they're not going to stay cold. And then Coke also started giving shops, like Spa.
Those branded.
Gave them fridges for free.
And obviously you can't put Pepsi
in
it.
Don't you dare put a Pepsi in
it. No, but you can't. It just won't look right.
Don't put a Pepsi in there. Don't put anything. Everything that's in a Coke fridge is a product of Coca-Cola.
This is why we always find the Pepsi in these small fridges.
The way back next to the ice cream.
That's it. These extra fridges. Like, maybe that's their little comeback, you know. Like, small fridges just for us.
Always wondered why I always have to go fetch my Pepsis from the frozen aisle.
Do you prefer Pepsi? Or are you also a Coke guy?
Pepsi's really sweet, eh? And you
Pepsi
know,
is different, definitely. It's sweeter.
I like Coke. I like Pepsi. Pepsi's very sweet. Some people like Pepsi. Coke's also very sweet. It's just what taste you prefer. But in reality, the other day I was comparing a Coca-Cola and a Sterry Stumpy.
Ooh, yeah.
And I was like, they both have the same amount of sugar.
Wow.
And I was like, so would I rather have a Coke or a Sterry Stumpy? And I was like, well, at least with the Sterry Stumpy, I'm getting like 11 grams of protein.
Yeah.
What other thing other than sugar am I getting from the Coke?
Yeah, just a good scrub in your tummy.
What else? You can't find any other nutritional value in that Coke.
No, definitely not.
There isn't
not.
Even any nutritional value
just
to begin with.
Just a quick burst of sugar going through your body.
Some sugar and some water. At least with the Sterry Stumpy doesn't hide. It's sugar, milk. But at least with the milk, you're getting protein and calcium.
Yeah.
And
no, that's definitely a healthier choice. But I mean, also with Sterry Stumpy, you don't get that tingling feeling in your throat when you.
It's not carbonated,
That first lovely sip of Coca-Cola on a warm. Oh, that's it. Yeah. You do it so well. Yeah. That's, man.
I would really
like a Coke right now.
Yeah, you know when it just opens like. Oof. And you just know, it's just that sound. You just hear that fizz.
Yes, and then that tingle at the back of your throat.
They did a great job marketing us as children, eh?
Yeah, we can still hear it in the back of our minds. It echoes in my head.
Didn't they used to go like brrr or something like that? Yeah. Okay, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, as kids we saw that and still in our minds. It just shows you those were really good advertising campaigns.
So here's, okay, I guess we have a music break now, hey?
That's right, yeah. Let's go have a Coke.
Let's have a break. Let's have a Kit Kat.
No, we're having a Coke now.
We should just transition to ads like that, you know. Just anywhere, anytime, penny pinches.
And now it's time for our final stretch for this week's edition of Tech Plus. We're heading towards the end of February, believe it or not. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Whoa, AI. Let's talk about it. Never really. We're always talking about AI, I guess. But this time we're not talking directly about AI. We're talking about a creator of AI. So Sam Altman, the owner of OpenAI, one of the founders of OpenAI, I'm sure you didn't know this, but he actually owns a big chunk of Reddit.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So a fun fact from Reddit's IPO filing, because I didn't know if you know this, but this is also pretty cool. Reddit is going to go for another public offering.
Mm.
And guess who they're offering shares to?
Oh, please don't tell me it's Elon Musk.
No, even better.
Zuckerberg?
No, even better. It's going to be all of the most active users of Reddit.
Oh, okay, wow, that's quite a twist, okay.
So imagine you're an everyday Facebook user and you just have Meta contact you and they're like, listen, we see you use Facebook every day, would you like to buy some Facebook shares?
Yeah,
but let's say Facebook shares aren't just natively shared online, so it is actually quite a really cool initiative, I think.
It is, very good.
Get people back in control of the company. But that being said, with Reddit filing for this IPO, Sam Altman has been revealed that he is one of the three largest shareholders, and that's alongside Advance Publication, which owns Condé Nast, and Tencent and Altman. So literally Tencent, Advance Publications, and Altman are the three largest shareholders. So the OpenAI CEO owns 8.7% of the stock versus Huffman's 3.3%. And while he isn't a co-founder, Altman has been deeply involved in Reddit since basically the beginning. He quietly stepped off the board in 2022 as OpenAI was rising to prominence and Reddit was gearing up to go public. Now he owns a big chunk of a company that really wants AI companies to pay for its data. Interesting times. So Altman is basically a large shareholder in another company that feels that... that feels very strongly that AI companies need to pay for the data they train their models on. So it's quite interesting that he's both the company that is not really paying people for the data they're training AI on, and also representing a company that feels it's important to make sure that people get paid for the data they train AI on. So there's a little bit of contradiction for your Saturday. Another thing is, remember that we heard about Universal?
Yes.
And TikTok.
What happened there? Is it fixed now?
I don't know, but we've got big news here.
Why are we whispering?
We've got big news here. If Universal still isn't a part of TikTok, right? TikTok has just announced that more than 160 new countries will be able to add music they find on TikTok to their streaming platform of choice. TikTok announced today that the Add to Music app feature launched in the US in November is integrating platforms like Spotify and Apple Music into the video app. Music discovery is huge on TikTok, but the relationship between labels and the tech company are tenuous. So really, this is so cool, because now what you can do is when you hear a popular song on TikTok, you can just open it in Spotify.
Nice. That's a very good idea.
But now imagine being a Universal artist. Everybody's music on Spotify, but none of your brands or your artists' music is on TikTok. Literally open for the taking. Millions and millions of hours watched every single day going to everybody that isn't a Universal artist, and all of them being able to easily get to Spotify and listen to their favorite music. And it's a big factor to consider, hey, and it's a little bit of a bad move from Universal. I mean, this is just talking, like, I've always wanted to be like, can't I just open the song in Spotify? Why do I always have to go through the creator's link tree and find his music and go through a maze of things?
Exactly, yeah.
So to see that there is like, yo, I wonder how Universal's feeling about that.
It blows my mind that this issue that's been going on for weeks now between Universal and TikTok hasn't been solved yet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really, like, they didn't even try, unless we don't know about it, but they didn't even try to go back to the boardroom and kind of sort it out somehow.
Not good.
No.
It's absolutely not good. You know what also isn't good? Avast. Internet security.
Do you know when last did you see Avast on a computer?
Jeez, I saw
that little orange icon.
Yeah, and that A. You know
that's
what I mean? You'll know it when you see it. You know?
I think that was the one I always had on my computer, because the other ones were like so bloated with pop-ups and trying to sell me stuff and trying to sneakily install other software in the background. You know, like, would you like to see a little picture of a cat? And then when you click on it, then it just installs like two other programs on your computer.
It was always funny to me, because you would download an app and it would seem to want to install an antivirus as part of this app. You know?
Yeah, there's always obviously a bit of a deal that they've got going there. For every installation, you know, we'll give you a bit of money if you put our thing there. But anyway, what do you want to say about Avast?
So Avast has been fined $16.5 million for privacy software that actually sold users browsing data.
So again, sneakily installing stuff on other people's computer instead of protecting it.
So in this case, the software company is facing $16.5 million in fines after it was caught storing and selling customer information without their consent. The FTC, or Federal Trade Commission, announced the fine on Thursday and said that it's banning Avast from selling user data for advertising purposes. So from 2014 at least to 2020, Avast harvested user web browsing information through its antivirus software and browser extension, and then subsequently went on to sell that to over 100 third parties without the knowledge of the customers. And the service itself was claimed to keeping you safe, keeping you secure, and keeping your browsing private.
Ish.
An anti-security thing, yeah, it's just the irony of it is like, okay, how many people really do care about your data? Maybe you shouldn't just trust everything on face value and you should protect your data, because everybody says everybody's selling data. But when you hear about stuff like this, you're like, wow, everybody really is trying to go whatever means necessary to collect data and sell it.
We trusted you, Avast.
Come on.
We trusted you, little orange bastard.
Man, oh man. In other news about AI, the Justice Department gets a chief AI officer. That's a new role.
Yeah, you see.
Imagine you went back 5 years and you heard that the United States Justice Department has appointed an AI officer as it figures out how AI impacts law enforcement. So we're talking about AI security systems. Now we're talking about how AI impacts law enforcement. And I think we're going to see, we're going to see a lot of movement there as well. Then in other news, League of Legends, if anybody knows it, is an MMO, massive multiplayer online game. I think you play 5v5s. It's quite popular. It was popularized quite a long time ago. There's like a lot of players from a long time ago. They're releasing a new game, a fighting game called 2XKO. And anybody that's a League of Legends fan will find that pretty interesting and probably want to check it out. And in other news as well, Sony, I'm so happy to hear about this. Sony is now testing PSVR 2 support for PC. So if anybody out there was ever an owner of a PS5, I'm sure there is a few of you, that are thinking about getting the PlayStation VR headset, nothing has been announced yet or officially confirmed as of right now, but what might deter you from getting a PS5 VR headset is the fact that there's all these other VR headsets, the Apple Vision Pro, the Meta Quest 3, the HTC Vibe 2.0, and there's just all these headsets. Why would I want to go buy one that I can only use on my PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
So Sony coming out saying that, in fact, it looks like it's working on allowing PSVR 2 owners to connect their headset to PC gaming rigs. We're pleased to share, they say, that we are currently testing the ability for PSVR 2 players to access additional games on PC to offer even more game variety in addition to the PSVR 2 titles available throughout the PS5. They said they hope to make the support available in 2024, so stay tuned for more updates. Up until now, Sony had been dodging questions about the PSVR 2 headset, and I'm glad to see them taking some initiative to make that happen. We need more of that. I mean, they're so outnumbered right now with Xbox. Because Xbox, I mean, you buy a game on Xbox, you can play it on PC.
Yeah.
You get an Xbox Game Pass subscription, any of those games you can play on PC or Xbox. And then here comes PlayStation, same cost. More expensive, actually. I think Xbox Game Pass is 90 Rand a month or 70 Rand a month. And PlayStation, the Deluxe Edition, is like 200 Rand a month. You know? Big difference.
You know what I discovered the other night?
What?
Now being back on Netflix, having the app on my phone, Netflix, you've got games on your phone now. And it's free.
Wow, that's true, actually.
Yeah, because remember, we always spoke about it, but I didn't know, like how many would there be. And there's so many of them.
Wow.
Many games you can play, and it's free. All it does is, when you click on it inside Netflix, it takes you to the App Store to install the game. But it's been uploaded by Netflix, so it's free of charge. So if you want to play games, you can do so for free with your Netflix subscription on your cell phone.
Wow.
It's cute games, like little...
Little fun games, why not?
Little fun games, little virtual realities, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know
what you call it now, those games where you control the people. And
we'd call it mini games, like web games, like little,
but for free,
arcade
no
games.
Hidden costs.
Oh, well, other than your Netflix subscription.
Yeah, I think it's quite nice. It's a nice add-on.
Have you played some of the games properly?
No,
a little bit,
just one of them.
And you like
I can't even remember the name, but
it's
yeah,
like Tetris,
I like
and
it.
That sort
and no,
of stuff.
Yeah, okay. But no ads in between or anything. Thankfully. So that's quite nice.
That is very nice. Speaking of things that are very nice, this is actually very nice for, mankind. Intuitive Machines has just made history by becoming the first private aerospace company to land a spacecraft on the moon's surface. Wow, that's really, really cool.
What, so that happened this week, eh?
Yes. So following its launch aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket last Thursday, the robotic Novosi Odysseus lander built by Intuitive Machines has now touched down, also making it the first U.S. spacecraft to successfully land on the moon since 1972.
Sure.
Apollo 17's mission. 1972. Think about that. The first U.S. spacecraft to successfully land on the moon since 1972. It was expected to land at about 6:24 p.m. Eastern Time, and now Mission Control confirmed it's on the moon and transmitting. Described by NASA as a hexagonal cylinder on six legs, the Novice Odysseus lander is carrying several science and research payloads for the agency's Commercial Lunar Payload Services, or CLPS program, which aims to collect information data about the moon's surface. It aimed for a lunar south pole, a region of particular scientific interest due to the occurrence of water ice hiding in permanently shadowed craters. Such data could prove useful before NASA's Artemis program brings people back to the moon in 2025, guys. We're a year away from putting people back on the moon. Isn't that exciting?
Hey, it's just around the corner.
Just around
the corner. How are we going,
Kane? Just around the corner. You know, there was actually another thing that I read where people were talking about the moon and it kind of rusting. Now, apparently there's a type of mineral that's forming on the moon, or at least a byproduct or of some sort of rusting type, you know, chemical reaction. I'm not too sure on the exact specifics, but due to this phenomenon, there's this chemical that's present. I think it's called hematite or something like that, and it only forms when in the presence of oxygen and water. So to be seeing it forming on the moon, isn't that a bit strange? When you see a chemical that is only really present, you know, where there's oxygen and water kind of appearing on the moon, it kind of leads you to believe, well, there must be some sort of water and oxygen potentially on the moon. And I think that's where we're seeing, there's maybe some correlation there.
Yeah.
Plus, they're visiting the shadowy part of the moon, which they believe has also got frozen ice. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. But 1972 is a long time ago, eh?
It is.
50 years almost, more.
Yeah.
Wow. Something for mankind to be proud of.
One small step for man.
That's the one.
One giant leap for mankind.
I wonder what the next famous saying is going to be.
Yeah, probably something like...
Follow me on Instagram.
Something very technological. Yeah.
Don't subscribe to my YouTube channel.
It is. It's going to be very futuristic, eh?
Man, or it'd be like a commercial or something. It's like Nike, just do it. You know, yeah. Something like that is going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
And on that note, is it time to end?
It's that time again, indeed. Kane, thank you so much. And I hope you're going to have a nice weekend and enjoy playing with those very cool glasses of yours, man.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for bringing them.
Yeah, next time we'll take a deep dive into what are some of the cool things that I've managed to do with them.
Yes.
See if it's worth your time getting them
into
SA.
Try getting into a fight, you know, at least one, so we can watch the footage.
So you can see the UFC-style point of view.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much to all of our listeners for listening, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. Cheers, Kane. Bye-bye.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.